The contest for Wicomico County Executive is witness to a strong challenge by an independent. Welcome to Delmarva Today. This is Don Rush. The matchup pits incumbent Republican Bob Culver against an independent run by Salisbury City Council President Jack Heath. Heath is looking to draw support from both party faithful and has received the endorsement of the Wicomico County Democratic Club. Meanwhile, newcomer John Hamilton is the Democratic candidate in the race. Last week, they squared off during a debate held on the campus of Salisbury University. The panelists who questioned the candidates were Madison Bryce with the university's Institute for Public Affairs and Civic Engagement, or PACE, Bill Chambers with the Salisbury Area Chamber of Commerce, and Mike Dunn with the Greater Salisbury Committee. In this presentation of the debate, we begin with moderator Todd Carley, managing editor for WBOC.
Mr. Culver, opening statement.
I want to thank PACE. I want to thank the Chamber of Commerce and, of course, Greater Salisbury Committee for putting this on. 4 years ago, I decided to run for county executive. When I did, I promised you that I would run the county as a business, and I have done just that. Over the past 4 years, we have put aside an additional $10 million in our savings account. We'll call it savings account, our reserve fund. Now, not all that is actually be able to be spendable. Part of it is what we call restricted funds, and we can get into that later if you want to. But with that, we've also made this Wicomico City Airport a major boost for the future. For the next couple of years, we're going to be working on a Wicomico County Airport, and it will be a business center for years to come. And we've got some things that will be announced in the spring now as far as new hangars will be built, new businesses that are coming there. Additionally, we have 1,000 acres put aside there for what's called a enterprise zone. With that enterprise zone, many businesses can start there, and they will be able to get tax credits not only from local jurisdictions but also from the state. So we're very proud of those things that we've gotten accomplished. And many things that we're working on now are things that will go farther into the future. The set-aside acres. We put in over 21,000 acres in our Rural Legacy Program to protect the Paleo Channel through my administration. That's the biggest thing that Wicomico County has done to protect the environmental rights and the future of Wicomico County. We've done that. We've put inside money to protect our infrastructure, our buildings. We've redone the old courthouse, and many of you have seen that when we had the 150th anniversary. So my goal is to continue taking care of the properties and the materials goods that we have in Wicomico County. In the meantime, go ahead and stress our economic development and have it right so when a company's ready to come in, we're ready for them. Thank you.
I have a vested interest in Wicomico County, as you'll see. My wife, Linda, and I have been married for 49 years, and we brought our children here in the 80s. We have 3 children, 6 grandchildren. 4 of those grandchildren are part of the city school system, the county school system, and are products of the county school system. I have two daughters who teach in the county's school system, and very proud of that. So we do have a vested interest. Let me tell you a little bit about my business background. I've been the CEO of a successful $160 million international business. Yet I've also been the CEO for Lower Shore Enterprises, which is one of the best jobs I've ever had. We employed 150 individuals with disabilities and served the community that way. My community service includes volunteer firefighter, a Rotarian, building wheelchair ramps, delivering meals on wheels, and it's a very, very important part of my life. I've also been volunteer coach at Parkside High School and the university. All of the issues that you'll hear about tonight that I will speak about and am totally involved in is quality of life. If you ask anybody what's the most important thing to a family, it's quality of life. And we need to address those issues. I appreciate the opportunity to be here, and I thank PACE, the Chamber of Commerce, and Salisbury University. Thank you very much, and the Greater Salisbury Committee.
Mr. Hamilton.
All right. Thank you very much for everybody coming tonight. I appreciate the opportunity to be here and talk with you all. Thank you to the people hosting it. More than anything, I'm here running because right now there's more reasons to leave Wicomico than there should be. And I want to make it so we have reasons to stay in Wicomico. Other counties have better schools. Other counties have better jobs. Other counties are able to keep their graduates in their counties. These are things that we're falling behind on, and things that I think a young person that recently went through the school system and need and has a good perspective to help that school system can really accomplish the most. One of the main reasons I want to run is just simply because I think younger people need to start getting involved in politics. It's not going to be long before we're the ones taking over and we're the ones having to make all the decisions. So it's time to start getting some experience in doing that. More than anything, I think that Wicomico has a lot of potential, and I think that it's really being under-tapped right now. So I'd like to see, more than anything, personally, bring Wicomico up to a competitive level again, making us competitive with our surrounding counties and competitive with the entire state. And that is why I'm running for county executive. Thank you.
All right, we'll begin now with the questions. And again, candidates, you have 2 minutes each to answer each of these questions. So Madison, please.
Welcome. Let us start by asking each of you to name your top two priorities if elected, or in Mr. Culver's case, reelected as county executive.
Top two priorities will continue to be to build the infrastructure of Wicomico County to be able to handle new businesses coming in. As Jack said, the quality of life is an important part for all of us here that live in Wicomico County. We have taken a piece of land that everybody knows is Pirate's Wharf. It has sat there for 20 years, and my administration has started moving it forward now to where we just received an $820,000 grant from the state, or excuse me, from federal government to make this a park. So that will go before the council this week for the matching part of it, and that's very important, the quality of life. But another thing that's important to all of us is our schools, and there's no denying that the schools are an important part when people come to look at Wicomico County if they're going to stay here. But part of the schools is not just the teacher salaries, it's not just the books and glass inside the school, but it's the school themselves. We have done, my administration has finished up Bennett Senior, we've done Bennett Junior High School, and we've done West Salisbury School just in the 3 years I've been executive. We now have Beaver Run in what we call the queue. It is being planned for to start construction hopefully within another year. So we have gone after this in a really rather robust way and tried to make this, you know, the things that we need to change, we're going to take care of it while we can. They're predicting another recessionary type term in 2019. We're protected. We've got a savings account that will hold Wicomico County harmless to the greatest extent. Unless we were to go through another depression like we've done now, our administration has made the county a safe and secure place to stay. Thank you.
Mr. Heath.
My top priority is education and support for Dr. Hanlon's Imagine 2022 plan. And before I start, I would like to commend the county council for the first time in years, giving more than the maintenance of effort. It's a great start, and I think we can do better things because of that. Relative to why education is the top priority, that's the key driver for economic development and job growth, bar none. If you ask any real estate agent, when people move into the area, the first question that they ask is, how's the school system? And if the answer to that is, it's okay, we need to be able to answer, it's good, and it's supported by the county. We talk about surplus. We have the highest surplus as a percent of revenue in the entire state. The highest. As a taxpayer, from my perspective, if I'm paying taxes, my goal is not to build a savings account. My goal is to reinvest a portion of the money to get a return on that investment. And I think we'd be well served to do it with education. The second piece and my priorities is a comprehensive strategic plan. Not my plan, but the county's plan. Developed by a summit of the leadership of all the towns and municipalities to set our goals so that we can have a comprehensive strategy to meet the needs of our people.
All right. My two most important things would definitely have to be education and infrastructure. Obviously, education's on everyone's minds right now, and we have a good superintendent, and she's got a good plan, so we only need to get a good young county executive that can fund that plan and support her with it. Another thing about education is we all know that gun safety is a big issue in our entire country. I think it's something that we need to take very important and make sure that we have all of our students educated and prepared, having them go through drills if need be and doing, you know, the best possible techniques that are available today. Even things just as simple as having a line in the classroom so the kids know where they could go behind if they're locked in their room in a situation where they'd be able to stand where nobody could see them through the door or window, stuff like that. There's very simple things that can be done that can improve the safety, and we ought to do every possible single one of them that we can. Aside from that, we also need to try and draw better teachers. So I would like to see somehow, some way, doing something that we can draw and retain the good teachers we have, be it better pay, better benefits, whatever it needs to be. If we don't have our good teachers, we're not going to be able to teach our kids as best as possible. The next thing with infrastructure, we need to bring this county into the future with infrastructure. Both aesthetically and functionally, we need to get to a point, kind of like Salisbury has begun to do, where they've started to kind of beautify the area and make it appealing to people that live here, making it functional to people that live here. Updating that is a big thing and a big plus, because once we do the education, the infrastructure, those are the two things that make it so we can draw in better businesses.
I'd like to answer Mr. Heath on something he had said about our reserve fund, and that was, yes, we do have one of the largest savings accounts, but that is not all expendable money. Of the $60 million we have in our reserve fund, $31 million of it is what's called restricted. That pays for the benefits, that pays for our OPEB, that takes care of things like that. We have about $23, $24 million otherwise. You take that money, Wicomico County costs $10 million a month to run. My payroll every day is $150,000 for the 1,500 employees we've got. So you have to take that in consideration when you talk about big money. Yes, we've got money, but it's already committed on where it has to go. Thank you.
Mr. Chambers?
Gentlemen, there's been much discussion over the last 2 years about Volunteer Fire Station 13. This is a two-part question. Do you believe that there is an unmet need in Wicomico County that Station 13 would fill? And as county executive, the budget process starts with you. Will you be putting money into your budget to fund Station 13 at any time in the next 4 years?
Same line.
Yeah, same order.
Well, Station 13 came about during my realm as county executive. First of all, let me answer, yes, there's always a need for more volunteers. Now, whether or not Station 13 is the one that will go on, I don't know. But I really feel like the city of Salisbury needs volunteers. Every company we have out there is volunteers. Wicomico County cannot afford a paid system. I'm going to tell you right now, you'll be broke in a minute if we have to do a paid system throughout the county. But with that, as far as the next part of the question, whether or not we'll be putting any money in, my lead comes from the Chiefs Association. When I put money in this past year, it was from the Chiefs Association suggesting that that would be a good thing for what they call a sinking fund. There was $35,000. The council decided not to, and that's the way the vote goes. I mean, they have a right to look at the budget and go from there. This year, I don't anticipate putting any money in there unless, again, the Chiefs come to me.
This question is fairly easy for me. Do you believe that there's an unmet need? At the time that this question refers to, the citizens were being served in that area that they were going to be given, and they were happy with that service. Is there a need for volunteers? There absolutely is a need for volunteers, and I encourage anybody that's willing to try it to do it. Will I put money in the budget for to fund Station 13? Absolutely not. Let me tell you about the danger of how this came about. Let's take a theoretical. Let's say that Sharptown's fire department is next to Mardella. And Mardella, there's a group of people inside the Mardella fire department that really don't like the chief and decides that they want to go off on their own. What do you think the Sharptown fire department would say if they said, the chief said to them, you know, we're going to take a portion of your territory and we're going to give it to this new group that was unhappy in Mardella? Now, that's not happening. This is a theoretical. So anybody from Mardella, don't get nervous. But I think that that's the danger that we face if we fund somebody who's disgruntled and then start a new department to service people that are already being serviced. To me, that doesn't make any sense. Thank you.
No, there is no unmet need as far as I'm concerned. And from what I can see, most fires get put out pretty well. If for some reason in the next 4 years, air firefighters were coming to me saying, hey, we're having problems and we're not being able to meet, you know, the absolute minimum of what we need to be doing, then absolutely, at that point, we would consider some kind of expansion. But until then, I would have no plans of doing it, and not in the next 4 years whatsoever.
Gentlemen, this past year, as you know, the Greater Salisbury Committee completed a comprehensive study on the Wicomico County revenue cap. The GSC study came with 6 possible recommendations and some suggested changes to the revenue cap. Which, if any of these proposed changes, do you support?
Okay. The revenue cap was put on, 18, 19 years ago, and I'll be the first to admit a lot of people don't even know what the revenue cap is. A lot of people are not sure how it works. It's really rather convoluted, to be honest with you. But it was brought to us by a voter initiative, meaning that there was a number of people that signed up that wanted this. In no way am I going to ask that the revenue cap being taken off. Do I think that it should be studied? Yes, I do, because I think that people don't understand what it is, maybe a better clarification of what it is, why it was put into effect, what causes it, and what are the ramifications if we stay with the revenue cap. The school board has never been short-funded because of the revenue cap. Let's make that perfectly clear right now. The school board can be funded by the council agreeing to go over the amount of taxes that are set forth. So it can be done. The taxes can be raised at any time for K through 12, and that can be taken care of at any time. I don't see the political will. I don't see where it's coming from the public that we want to go ahead and take the revenue cap off. Do I think we need to discuss it? Yes, because right now this was brought to us in the last year, right before an election year. It's not going to happen. But over the next 4 years, I think we all should sit down and make better clarification of what it is, how it affects us, and what will happen in the case of a high-interest term. Thank you.
The study that was done by Member Derricker's group makes it very clear that the index that was used does not work good in all economies. That's an issue, because everybody's been through, me more than others probably, have been through many cycles of the economy. And I think that it's relevant to make some changes. But I will say this. In the last year, when I've gone door to door and I've spoken to businesses and commissioners and council people in other districts, they do almost to the person say, you know, when we voted for that, I thought it was a tax rate cap and not a revenue cap. I think we need to look at that. I think we need to make a change, because we have to be prepared to react in all situations. And I currently think that the revenue cap or the revenue cap as it stands right now is not helping us.
The revenue cap is fundamentally broken. There's no reason that we shouldn't try to fix it. I will, in the first 2 years, if I'm elected, make a very concerted effort to try and help educate the public on it and walk them in the process of a referendum to hopefully get it changed to a tax cap. because that automatically eliminates all the unforeseen consequences that can pop up from it, and it retains the taxpayers' protection, so we can't hike taxes up a ridiculous amount. To me, that's the best of both worlds. Of course, I would also be getting input from the public, so I'd love to hear what people think about it, if they would have differing opinions. But I personally think going ahead and switching the broken system to one that we at least know it works and is incrementally better, and then maybe from there we can change it again if need be. But I think that's the first step, and that's what I would push for.
Before we move to the next question, just for the audience's sake, the revenue cap has to deal with your property taxes. It is a very convoluted topic, but there was a study, as Mr. Heath said, done by SU and the business school. So if you want to see that study, I think it's on SU's website, and also the Greater Salisbury Committee has one on their website as well. So if you want to read that between now and Election Day, there's a couple places you can find it. Madison?
Education is obviously an important topic for me and my fellow students in the audience. Currently, Wicomico County ranks second from the bottom in the state in per pupil spending. Wicomico County ranks below even Somerset County in this important metric. As county executive in the next 4 years, would you take steps to move Wicomico County's per pupil spending levels higher than where they currently are?
Okay. You're right. We are one of the lowest ones in the state, down along with Somerset County. We are also the 23rd poorest county in the state of Maryland. As far as the money going to the Board of Education, that's a little bit wrong. We're actually around 7th, 8th, 10th. We're in the middle of what amount of money going to the Board of Education based on the state aid, based on the federal aid. You may not know this, but when we build a school, we get 97% of it paid for by the state because we are considered such a poor county. So in order to do that, a school may cost us, last one, I believe, and they can verify that. We had about $15 million from the state, $13 million from the county. It's about 50-50 when you add all the soft costs, and I say soft costs being the new desks, the new chairs, the new whiteboards, all that kind of stuff. So we end up still spending that amount of money. But as far as our contribution, the state pays more because we are, our wealth index is so low within the state of Maryland. Now, so you ask how you would fix that then. There's only two ways to fix that. It is either increasing your tax base. How are you going to increase your tax base? You're going to either go up, which is not going to happen with this political will, I can tell you, or you go ahead and have more properties built, new properties. New properties are not affected by the revenue cap. So with new properties, you can go ahead and have them built. But because we are an agricultural area, if you want to lose the character of what Wicomico County is, then the first thing to do is let's go ahead and start developing every piece of vacant land we've got. That will get us new money coming in. That'll put us higher up on the ranking in the MSDA as far as the money we spend. So there's a lot of parts that go to that as far as what you need to do. But you need to remember, we are not the poorest as far as the total amount given per student. We are as far as what we give from the county.
I listen to that, and it really makes me upset. Let me put this and phrase it correctly. Supposing you were a person on the other side of the bridge that is constantly supporting our children, and we just talked about 10 minutes ago about what is the key driver for economic development, and if we can bring new businesses and high-tech jobs in here and raise the average wage, we will take care of our own problem without having to go across the bridge to get it done. And the mortar and bricks are great, but they don't teach our kids. They don't teach our kids. We have to retain the top-notch teachers that are tempted every single solitary day to leave our school system for better turf. That is unacceptable to me. And what I will do, I will look at, with the county council, we'll look at the priorities that we're going to fund, and we'll adjust those priorities to make sure that our education people are taken care of, that our preschool kids have a place to go, and our education system will pay dividends in the long run.
Would I take steps to move Wicomico County's per pupil spending level higher? Yes, I would. Mainly, I'm not going to be raising anybody's taxes or anything like that, But every government eventually gets stagnant and bloated. So I guarantee there's plenty of money that's going to be able to be cut from other programs and diverted to education. That's the main thing I would divert it to. Maybe other things might arise. But, yeah, absolutely. Be raising money, absolutely, to education per pupil standards.
Gentlemen, as you know, major and heavy rainfall over the last few years resulted in some fairly significant flooding issues in Wicomico County. Pratt Road, the Old Ocean City Road corridor, and areas surrounding the Morris Mill Dam come to mind as examples of these flooding issues. As county executive, what comprehensive approach do you propose countywide to address these flooding challenges?
Well, we have done that. We have commissioned a study to start on that to figure out why and where the water will go next. Let's take Pratt Road, for example. The houses that flooded are built on the lowest part of Pratt Road. I can't do anything about that. The other part being is the ditches that were there, we have cleaned out. We've done what the homeowners said. They told me that they never flooded until someone put in a culvert pipe. I took the culvert pipe out. The next heavy rain, they flooded again. It's a matter of the fact that we are at a very low sea level, anywhere from 0 to 3 to 4 feet, something like that. If the high tide is in the Wicomico River and in the Nanticoke, there is no place for this water to go to. Welcome to the Eastern Shore. Because we had a storm surge of 6 foot, like what they're having right now down in North Carolina or any place else down there, we are going to see Wicomico and the Nanticoke River meet because it'll wash all the way across. And that's not a fairy tale. That's the truth. And you're welcome to look at any of the flood maps. Now, when you get closer into Salisbury, you've got a higher elevation than what's been down on Pratt Road and some of Pemberton Drive. But, yes, we are now working on trying to do that. Our public works under Dallas Baker has started making sure all the ditches, all the culverts are as clean as possible. We were out there this week again knowing that we had this storm that's down south now, not knowing where it's going to come. But we don't do the subdivisions. The homeowners associations have let their ditches go, and they're not draining. They have used them for leaf collection. They have used them for branches. They have used them for grass collection, and that has stopped up the ditches. We've got to get the homeowners associations to be able to go in and work on their own ditches. Otherwise, the county's going to be paying for everybody. Thank you.
This is not an easy question. I'm a chemical engineer, not a civil engineer, so I'm not the expert in it. But I'm glad to hear that we have a plan. We have a study being done. I will tell you some other things, though, that I think can be done. During my travels, and I attended the majority of the, along with some of the council members, the majority of the presentations that Dallas put on and did a very good job in each of the areas in the county. And then I went to a lot of the council, as I said before, a lot of the council commissioners' meetings. And there are a couple things that we should look at. I'm big into synergy. I think synergy is great whenever you can find it. I'll give you an example. I went to Sharptown, and we talked about one of the issues they have in Sharptown is by people who are going down the roads dumping stuff out, and it gets in the street. And they said, you know, and we can't afford a street sweeper because, first of all, we don't have enough streets, et cetera, et cetera, and it's an expensive piece of equipment. So I said, then, well, supposing that 4 or 5 towns got together, bought a street sweeper and shared it. Those are the kinds of inventive things that we should try, because you can get more out of working together and coming up with ideas. And if we get the people together in a summit, we can discuss ways that we can help each other. And this is just one example of it. But I think it's a very, very complex problem.
The flooding issue is, to me, not all that complex. From what I can tell, you got flooding issues, you go out and fix them. Of course, there's going to be some of them where you need to do a study and, you know, take proper steps, do what you can or possibly can't do anything. But there's a lot of them right now where they can be fixed immediately. Places where they're flooding over top of roads, stuff like that. People I talk to constantly ask me, why isn't there a work crew out there fixing that right now? I don't have an answer. But as county executive, I absolutely would make it one of my priorities to make sure that we had every single flooding issue in the county to the best of our ability taken care of.
Gentlemen.
Let me introduce you to Dallas Baker after this, and you tell him how to run it then. So.
Sure. So as you all know, Wicomico County is still lagging behind the country, the region, and our neighbors in terms of new housing starts. With Maryland's septic regulations now a permanent part of the landscape, what can you do as county executive to help stimulate new housing starts in Wicomico County?
Well, as we mentioned earlier, we have a lot of restrictions been brought down upon us by the previous administration, and some of those we can't get rid of. But one of the first things that I did when I became executive was to remove the revenue cap. The revenue cap was a $5,200 charge for every house, new home being built, $1,700 charge for every apartment being built in Wicomico County. With my putting it forward, the council's agreement, we removed that revenue cap to where that stimulated building, and we did have a spurge in building for a while. Right now, there's so many different things that control building, and part of that will be what the market will do, what the banks will do as far as loaning money to people. So there's a lot of different parts of that. We're doing everything we can to do as far as helping the builders get out and make that. Our offices are open all the time to be able to help them, and we will continue to do so, and we will encourage building in whatever form, commercial, residential, or apartments.
I think the septic situation brings a certain problem for sure. But I think that through the, we have a thing called designated growth areas. I don't know if everybody's familiar with that term. But there are areas that we encourage growth and we encourage development. And then that way we can preserve the rural farm and agribusiness and agriculture that's so critical to our area. And we don't want to play with that. It would be very dangerous to lose that source of income. But I think that what we need to do is look for more short-term incentives that bring long-term payback. And people I know sometimes say, well, what are you doing that for? Because, well, it works. It's worked in the city, and it can work in the county. We have to make sure that we have the infrastructure in order to carry that. And that's going to be one of the top priorities in the strategic plan that we would develop.
There's not much we can do about new septic regulations. It pretty much are what they are. But we have issues with septic systems here in Wicomico anyways, so we should really kind of set a standard to try to steer clear from them as best as possible. I talked to a lot of people out campaigning that have failing septic systems, failing wells. Trying to expand our infrastructure and improve our infrastructure, especially with wells and septic systems, is something that will help to stimulate new housing being built in the county. Aside from that, we really need to try our best to get all of the homes in the area that aren't on the current sewer, try to get them connected, try to see if we can possibly look into getting an actual county septic separate and expand as much as we can, because even new systems here don't last as long as they do in a lot of other areas, probably because we have the type of sandy soil we have and everything. So just steering clear of that altogether is going to be the best thing we could do for this area.
All right. Good communication is essential to good governance. How do you plan to ensure consistent and effective communication with the county council and the county council president and the mayors and town managers of Wicomico's largest municipalities, Salisbury, Fruitland, and Delmar?
Okay, well, there's this misconception going around that the council and I don't get along all the time, and that's not true. We can argue like cats and dogs, and I will sit here and have a different point. You have two strong leaders. I am the executive. They are the legislative branch. So John and I may not disagree. Larry may not agree with me, but we'll sit down and we'll talk it over. You know, when we leave that chambers, it's not like we're not talking to anybody, but we do have strong points. It happens in the State House. It happens in the Congress. It happens in the Senate. So we don't go home angry. I may not agree with somebody, but that doesn't mean I'm going to call them out and say that, you know, I'm not going to talk to you anymore. So we are legislators, and if you don't have strong-willed people, you're not going to have any results happening at all. So the original question was asking how we avoid what's happening in the federal level, and I'll start off right now. I don't tweet, so you won't have to worry about getting a tweet from me. So anyhow, but the point is I think we do. Jake and I see each other in the hallway. We don't always agree. That's true. But, you know, as a person, I think Jake is great. I think he's got a wonderful family. I met his daughters the other night, and they were so much fun to open up the candied yam with the other night. So we had a great time. But we're not going to agree, either because of our one's a Republican, one's a Democrat. That has nothing to do with it. We just have different thoughts in how we do things. So we will continue on that line. And I think that's good. That's healthy. Because otherwise, if you don't have discussion, you don't have any real problems being solved. You have one person, and the rest of them are agreeing with it. So, thank you.
Well, I can't say about what's going on now, but I can tell you what I will do and what I will commit to. I will commit to open communication, and I have a track record of doing that with the county council. I will attend the work sessions and be an active part when requested. No matter what the topic is. Relative to the way a business is run or the way communication is the key, if you can't communicate and you don't communicate, then you're going to be shocked by surprises that come up. The one thing I can tell you, and we have a diverse group in the city, on the city council, in case anybody hasn't noticed. But we respect each other and each other's opinions, and we agree to disagree in a very, very good manner. I don't agree all the time with the mayor. He'll tell you. We meet every week one-on-one.
What's up with that?
Except sometimes. But I commit to doing that on a county level, and I think that if we can bring the community totally together and act as a unit, we're going to be significantly better off than where we are. Thank you.
Some of you might not realize, but I'm pretty new at this. So I can tell you right now that a hallmark of my establishment would be communication. I would be reaching out to every political leader we have, asking their opinions, asking their advice, and hopefully getting ideas from them of better ways to lead, better ways to help the county and help their areas in particular also. I think without communication, you can't do the job in government that you need to do. It's absolutely essential, not just to be able to communicate with between, say, the council and the executive, but also to be able to communicate with your constituents. You know, being able to have somebody call you on the phone and tell you what's wrong. It's very important just to be open to that, even, just so people have an idea that they know, hey, this guy is someone I can talk to. That's a good thing for a leader to have. And as county executive, I will strive to always be open to communication and try to bring in others to communicate as best as possible and hopefully get input from everybody, all the leaders in the community, and get them on the same page and hopefully going in the same direction.
Mr. Chair, are you going to follow with the next question or do you have a follow-up?
Yeah, Todd, I'm going to do question 8 and then we'll go to an audience question. So I'm going to do this question and then we'll go back to you for the audience. Gentlemen, the Salisbury-Wicomico Airport is a key economic development tool for Wicomico County and the region. What specific plans will you put into place to help maximize the airport's potential? And specifically, what are your plans to help move the much-needed runway expansion forward?
Well, as I said in my opening statement, we have already taken those initiatives. We have 1,000 acres been declared to be an enterprise zone. We have already approached FFA. My staff has gone to meet with FFA. That will be including Dawn Beach, Wayne Strausberg. We've all gone to talk to different companies as far as who would like to come there. We have, and this is what I can't let all of it, but we've got companies. If you'll notice, there's a lot of changes going on in Wallops. A lot of these people want to stay in the area. They've got things going on. We are in position to try to get some of that business that Wallops has. So we are working on that now. We feel very confident at that. We have a company who wants to sign, who has already signed a letter of intent to build a 38,000 square foot hangar at Wicomico County. They will be bringing in regional jets type things. We're hoping that they will then set up a charter between here and BWI. So we're working on that. So we've got a lot in the works. A lot of it is just still on letters of intent, that type of thing, but we are constantly working on it. And Mr. Chambers is right. This is a key economic factor in the Wicomico County, because having air service to a town as small as, or to a county as small as Wicomico is big news. We are the second largest airport in the state of Maryland. That's hard to believe that we have the second largest airport in the state of Maryland right here. So we are not capitalizing on that. This is no longer going to be a dusting service, a crop duster's landing part. We are going to go for the 8,000 square foot runway, and with that we can bring in cargo planes, we can bring in jets that would easily, whether Under Armour wanted to come here and had a warehouse here, they could be able to ship it out by aircraft. So we are constantly working on that. Thank you.
I do agree that the airport could be a significant economic driver. And to that end, I called the airport manager and asked for a meeting so she could bring me up to speed, because I'm not an expert in airports, and I've never been involved with any of that. And she said, I can answer some basic questions for you, but I think it would be a conflict of interest if I sat down and met with you. So I didn't really get the kind of in-depth understanding of how the system works in order to make any decisions. But I do agree that we need to, just the ability for a maintenance location is key. That much I know about the airports. We certainly support it. We're bringing water to it from the city in order that they can fight fires with the fire suppression system. So we support that completely. I support it. And I think that it's going to be vital. And if we can attract a second carrier, especially one to BWI, it's going to make a significant difference. So I will work very closely with Dawn to make sure those kinds of things happen.
I think we all know that the airport is a great asset to the county, and it's only common sense to support it and develop it as much as possible. So I would do that as county executive. I agree with Jack, I'm not an aeronautical expert or anything, but it's obvious that it's one of, you know, the best things we have in our county that we can constantly keep improving. There's no reason not to, so why not do it?
All right, gentlemen, thank you. We do have a couple of audience questions that we'd like to get to, and if I may, I do my quick math. If you could try to keep these answers under 2 minutes, we might get home and get your final statements in as well. So here are two questions. We'll start with you, Mr. Culver. Do you believe a study to monitor air emissions from poultry houses, CAFOs, that are accused to be polluting the air is needed?
There was one done by the local Wicomico County Health Department. That has also been approved by the state agency. So if there's one that wants to be done independently, I have no objection to it. We want to make sure that all of our areas are as safe as they can possibly be. So, no, I have no problem with that. But, again, Wicomico County Health Department, which are licensed individuals for that reason, did a study, and it was approved by the state agency. So I can only go back to them.
Mr. Heath?
I agree. I would not stop a study. I think that's fine. But I will say this. Our county is very big. It has a lot of open spaces. And I think that if we focus on keeping the CAFOs away from the designated growth areas, it seems like a logical thing to do. And then the impact would be less and less. So that would be a suggestion that I would look at. I think it makes a lot of sense. But I would not be opposed to testing, because I think test anytime there's a question, if you can put a metric and a test to it, that's fine.
I agree. Anytime you can do a study to ensure our health, why not do it? You know, if there's a possibility that there could be something unhealthy and we can test to make sure it's there or not there, do it and then take the necessary steps to correct it.
All right. Thank you. Our other question from the audience. Do you believe there are racial inequities in the Wicomico County school system? If so, what could be done to eliminate them? I know it's a kind of a broad question. I don't know if it's specific to
I don't know that I can answer it. I have nothing to do. We are strictly a funding agent for the Board of Education. So if there's problems within the Board of Education, there's board members here, and that would have to be referred to them. You're talking about racial inequities within the staff or within
I don't know. I'm just reading the question as written. So, yeah, it is fairly broad.
Okay.
I think from my meetings with the NAACP, I know one of the concerns, and I hope this is what it's related to, is the amount of teachers that are minority teachers in the school system, especially males. And I think that the key to one of those areas is, again, to attract and go after the best teachers. And the best teachers, no matter what color they are. But I think that there needs to be a diversification plan, and I believe there is one in the school system. But I hope that's what you meant, whoever asked that.
I'm not exactly sure what inequalities we have in the schools currently. If there are any, obviously, it's a good, you know, thing to aim at trying to change. But I think one of the places to start with things like that all the time is in the general community. You know, we all need to try to respect each other more and be more understanding and diversifying in everything we do, all our activities. And setting a good example, you know, starts with ourselves. So as long as we start setting a good example and get others to do the same, that will also go down into our school system and the rest of the community and everywhere else. And I think that's the best place to start.
All right. Thank you, audience, for your questions. I'm going to defer to our panel real quick. We have a few minutes. Did you want to go to the last question?
Sure, we will.
Okay.
Final question on education. Good timing. As we discussed tonight, Wicomico School Superintendent Dr. Donna Hanlon has a business plan for the next few years, and her business plan is called Imagine 2022. It's a plan that matches specific needs to specific outcomes. As county executive, what will you do to help the Imagine 2022 plan become a reality?
I think Dr. Hanlon's plan is wonderful. I have read it. I've gone through it. The goals are very lofty, and I feel like, you know, most of them are attainable. So I have no problem with the plan. You know, as the funding agent, I've got to make sure the realistic part of it comes out, and we've got to be able to fund it without raising the taxes by a considerable amount. So I think the plan is wonderful. I have no problem with that. I'm not an educator, but I do admire her goals that she has set forth. So with that, her strategic plan, as everybody mentioned, strategic plan tonight, is great, but again, getting there just needs some conversation before we just jump into it.
I think I partially answered the question before about looking at priorities, but I will say this. This plan, and the way it's developed, it has a very important component to it, and that's metrics. And I think once we start to see the metrics improve, it will gain a momentum on its own. And we need to be able to respond to that. But I will also tell you, the people in this room, if you want to relate it back to something we talked about tonight, the revenue cap. The reason the revenue cap came about was because people were upset with outrageous rate increases. The people in this room have a vested interest in the education of our youth. And there should be a groundswell of people standing up and saying, we need to do what we need to do to make sure our kids are educated properly. It's good for my grandchildren. It's good for your children and grandchildren. And it's a fundamental right that they have. Thank you.
I think Imagine 22 is a great plan, and I fully intend to fund it. I plan to do that not by raising taxes, but by finding places to cut money in the budget, and have no doubt that it will be fully funded without any issues. I look forward to being able to work with Dr. Hanlon hand in hand and support her in her plan moving forward.
All right, gentlemen, thank you. We are now at our closing statements time, and you each have 1 minute for your closing statements tonight. Mr. Culver, we'll start with you.
Again, thank you all for putting this on. We've really appreciated the time to be up here. It's been a lot of fun. But one thing that has not been brought up tonight is the opioid problem. This is one of the worst crises facing America now. And I'm proud to tell you that Wicomico County is the leading county in the state of Maryland for opioid reduction. We have done a program called the COPE program through a combination of the health department, the sheriff's office, and it has worked out wonderful. As a matter of fact, it's actually been nationally recognized, not just statewide. It's been nationally recognized for its benefits. So with that, we need to keep on doing what we're doing and then try to help any person that does become addicted, and we will promise that we will continue that fight. So thank you all very much for tonight, and I've appreciated being here.
I want to thank PACE, Greater Salisbury Committee, and the Chamber. What do I bring to the party? I bring integrity. I bring experience. I bring vision. And I bring a track record. And I respectfully ask for your vote and support on November the 6th. Thank you very much.
Thank you all for coming. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you all. It's been a pretty good night. I think it's very important now in this technological age and revolution that we're going through to start to get some young candidates that have grown up through this and that really have it in their soul and understand how important it is to every part and every aspect of our society. And to get a younger person in, such as myself, would be a great first step to getting this county to competitive point by just, for one, getting us, you know, on a point where we have good social media, a good website, and things that reach out and help communicate and draw in the constituents to the government. And that's one of the main reasons I'm running, and I ask for your support. Thank you.
Gentlemen, thank you very much for your time. We appreciate you. We all appreciate you coming out here tonight. There is no better way for voters to make a decision than to see and hear from their candidates in person. So we appreciate your time tonight, and I know the audience does as well. Folks, thanks for coming out. We want to thank the Salisbury Chamber of Commerce, Greater Salisbury Committee, and Salisbury U for hosting tonight. We'll see you at the polls November 6th.
This has been a special presentation of the recent debate held at Salisbury University between the three candidates vying for the position of Wicomico County Executive. Again, they are incumbent Republican Bob Culver, independent candidate and Salisbury City Council President Jack Heath, and Democratic candidate John Hamilton. This has been Delmarva Today. I'm Don Rush. Thanks for listening.